Good morning and welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church this Christmas morning. Welcome to our virtual service, and as you have probably heard already, from now on, services will be online only, and we'll share a few more comments with that later. But to begin with, just want to greet you with these words. God made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, in which he purposed in Jesus Christ. Once again, as we begin, that you've heard already, the worship services will be online, virtual, until the end of January. And we thank you for your willingness to participate in the fact of keeping all of us healthy. Services online, or if you do not get online or know of someone, please let them know that we've been sending out mailings of our worship services, the bulletin, and copies of the printed messages to receive at home, and those are sent out once every 2 weeks. Contact the church office if you are not on the mailing list. Also, keep checking the church website for updates and other information there. And once again, for all of us, we want to wish and pray that we stay healthy and look forward to those days when we can meet once again. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, on this Christmas morning, we feel like unwrapping gifts, gifts of being together, gifts of not having to be suffocated by a mask, gifts of being able to hug loved ones. In the midst of that, we pray for the joy and experience of Jesus Christ coming to us, to save us from our sins, but also to lead us into life and to life to the fullest. Guide our thoughts and reflections during this time of worship. Bless each one as they join us at home. And now as we continue in worship, we pray for your presence in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to hear the Christmas story with images that were prepared by my wife Renata and myself and narrated by myself. The Christmas story.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town in Galilee, called Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds, living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to all." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who was born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you will come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may go and pay him homage." When the wise men had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is only the Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This, the word of the Lord.
We will now hear the song, Joy to the World, the text on the screen, and if you would like to, since we're at home, sing along as you feel comfortable, and thank you, Trudy, this morning for playing for us. This time we will have the Advent candle lighting for this Christmas morning by Helga Runge and Alexandra.
In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Emmanuel, God with us, with eyes open, hearts softened, minds listening, and spirits full, we rejoice that you interrupt what we have in mind in order to bring into being something more than we dare imagine. May your light shine.
Also recorded for us earlier, the Christmas pandemic skit was recorded by the Sunday school children, and enjoy this interpretation of the Christmas story for these days.
Hey.
Hi, Jenna.
Hello, I'm back.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Ben.
Hey. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
Hello. Logan. Hello, Logan. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Hannah.
Hello.
Okay, looks like we're all here, so let's get started. What exactly are we supposed to be doing again?
They asked us to make a virtual Christmas play for the service, but we're not allowed to stand on the stage, take our masks off, or bring the cute kids for in their costumes. Honestly, guys, I don't know how we can pull this off.
I know. 2020 has just been the worst, and now we can cap it off with the worst Christmas Eve program ever.
Come on, guys. I think you're being just a little too dramatic about all this. Seriously, there have been Christmas Eves that were way worse than this one.
Yeah, he does have a good point. We have a lot to be thankful for and lots to celebrate. We just have to do it differently.
If you start talking about the new normal, I'm going to hang up on this call. Seriously, I'm so done with the pandemic Christmas.
I couldn't agree more. My Amazon order is delayed at the border. I was supposed to get this awesome ugly Christmas sweater, but who cares anyway? I have nowhere to wear it.
And I don't get to have big family reunions with all the second cousins. I love Aunt Kay's shortbread.
I stood in line outside Best Buy for 2 hours on the weekend trying to get the new Nintendo Switch game for my brother. Sold out, of course.
Well, I stood out in line outside Walmart and then forgot my mask, and I had to go back to the car and get it and start all over again.
And this whole Christmas Eve service, what's the point? We're not even allowed to sing. I love Christmas carols.
It's times like these I wish I was like the celebrities on Instagram. They're all vacationing in amazing tropical places, and we're stuck here social distancing.
Okay, you two, are you done complaining? Seriously, this is the season for joy and hope.
Yes, you need to take a lesson from Mary and Joseph.
What do you mean?
Think about it. Who had a worse Christmas than Mary and Joseph?
I always thought their Christmas was kind of awesome. You know, baby Jesus, the angels singing, all kinds of presents.
Well, it ended that way, but there was so much more that happened before, during, and after that moment. Our pandemic looks like a party compared to their experience. Remember, it started with this young girl named Mary, who was engaged to be married. Imagine her surprise when an angel named Gabriel appeared and said to her, "Peace be with you. God has blessed you and is pleased with you."
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's a pretty awesome compliment directly from God.
Yeah, but then came the big news. Don't be afraid, God has been very kind to you. You will become pregnant by the Holy Spirit and give birth to a baby boy, and you will call him Jesus. He will be God's son, and his kingdom will never end. Can you imagine how she felt?
I'd be terrified.
For sure. Mary was very afraid, but she trusted God. "Let it happen as God chooses," she replied to the angel.
How did Joseph feel? He couldn't have been too happy about this.
Nope. Joseph was worried when he found out that Mary was expecting a baby before their marriage had taken place. He wondered if he should put off the wedding altogether. Then, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Don't be afraid to have Mary as your wife."
The angel explained that Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of his son, and told Joseph that the baby would be named Jesus, which means Savior, because he would save people. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel had told him to do, and took Mary as his wife.
Okay, so that's settled. Now on to the hallelujahs and happy endings.
Not quite. You see, at this time, the land where Mary and Joseph lived were part of the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor Augustus wanted to have a list of all the people in the empire, so they made sure to pay their taxes. He ordered everyone to return to their town where their families originally came from and enter their names in the register there.
You want to talk about a long walk to the car for a mask or a lineup to wait? Best Buy has nothing on this one. Mary and Joseph traveled a long way, about 112 kilometers from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because that's where Joseph's family came from. Most people walked, but some lucky people had a donkey to help carry the goods needed for the journey. Joseph and Mary traveled very slowly because Mary's baby was due to be born soon.
That's like walking to Hamilton and back.
And a donkey? Seriously? At least give the poor people a wagon or something. She's expecting a baby.
Nope, it was a hard, slow journey. Slower than Amazon deliveries by far. And then, when they reached Bethlehem, they had problems finding somewhere to stay. So many people had come to register their names in the census that every house was full and every bed was taken in all the guest rooms. The only place to stay that they could find was with all the animals.
And that's where it happened. The Son of God was born in the place where the animals slept. In those days, it was custom to wrap newborn babies tightly in a cloth called swaddling cloths. Jesus's bed was the manger that animals ate their hay from.
Wow, I guess it wasn't very glamorous. And suddenly my Christmas sweater doesn't feel very important. Swaddling clothes in an animal manger are nothing special.
Nope, and I'll tell something else that isn't fancy. Shepherds. They're like the simplest of common people. They watch sheep through the long night in the hills and fields outside Bethlehem. As the new day began, suddenly an angel appeared before them, and the glory of God shone around them. The shepherds were very, very scared, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you and everyone. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born for you. You will find the baby lying in a manger." Then many more angels appeared, lighting up the sky. The shepherds heard them praising God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest and peace to everyone on earth."
It's kind of strange that God would pick shepherds as the first people to hear the good news.
They aren't the celebrities on tropical islands. They're like us, just regular people.
Yes, they were not famous or rich at all. When the angels had gone, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem to see what's happened. So the shepherds went to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph. The baby Jesus was lying in a manger as they had been told.
When Jesus was born, a brand new bright star appeared in the sky. Some wise men in faraway countries saw the star and guessed what it meant. They were very clever men that studied the stars and had read in very old writings that a new star would appear when a great king was born. They set out to find the new king and brought him gifts.
Oh yeah, here's the good part. The kings and the gifts.
Yes, but you're forgetting the part where they meet Herod. The wise men were asking around where they could find the child who was born to be the king of the Jews. Well, Herod was the king of Judea, and it made him very angry to think that someone might be going to take his place as king. Herod sent for the wise men to come to him. He told them to follow the stars until they had found the baby king. He said, "When you have found him, let me know where he is, so I can go and worship him." But Herod did not tell him that he had really had an evil plan in mind to kill the new king.
Kill him? He's just a baby.
And the Son of God.
Yep, he wanted to use a wise man to take Jesus out of the picture. The wise men followed the star towards Bethlehem. It seemed to stop and shine directly down upon the place where Jesus was. The wise men entered the house where they now lived and found Jesus with Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. The wise men spread the gifts they had brought before Jesus. The gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Then what happened? I mean, did the wise men go back to Herod?
Nope. The wise men were warned in a dream by God not to go back to Herod, so they returned home to their countries in the east by a different way.
You know, I think you're right about Joseph and Mary's Christmas being harder than ours. They had angel visitors with the news that was unbelievable.
A long walk to pay taxes.
No place to stay, and unexpected visitors of every kind.
Including ones that could have given them up to Herod.
It still ends with the Son of God growing into a Savior who would end up giving his life for all of us.
It's the ultimate happy ending.
Do you think we'll have one of those too? I mean, do you think we'll get through this pandemic Christmas?
Absolutely. We'll get through it by focusing on what really matters. Who cares about long lines at stores?
Or delayed Amazon orders.
Or ugly Christmas sweaters.
Or all the other things we can't do. We can praise God.
Spread joy to friends, our family, and neighbors in little ways.
Tell the story of Jesus.
And remember to be hopeful.
I mean, if Mary and Joseph can get through all that, we can get through this.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
Music is such an important part of our worship, but especially at the Christmas season, and so invite Trudy again to lead us, O come all ye children, and in the German, ihr Kindlein kommet. Prayer this morning, I want to share with you a prayer poem that was actually written by my wife Renata, and share these words with us as our prayer for these particular days of Christmas. In reflection, lift your hearts to God. Perhaps this Christmas, after all this illness, after all this death, the gasping for air, the rhythm of ventilators, the rows of body bags, There will be a stillness, and we will be able to hear our neighbor cry for healing. Perhaps this Christmas, after all the fires, after all the storms, the ashen landscapes, the smoldering ruins, the piles of debris, there will be a stillness, and we will be able to hear the earth cry for restoration. Perhaps this Christmas, after all the marches, after all the placards, the knees on necks, the shouts of outrage, the impassioned funerals, there will be a stillness, and we will be able to hear our brothers and sisters cry for justice. Perhaps this Christmas, after all the rallies, after all the debates, the blatant lies, the play on fears, the deepening divisions, there will be a stillness, and we will be able to hear the people cry for wisdom. Perhaps this Christmas, with all the lockdowns, with all the isolation, 2 meters distance, plexiglass shields, masked faces, there will be a stillness, and we will be able to hear our spirits cry for connection. Perhaps this Christmas, without all the noise, without all the activity, no rousing anthems, no heralding trumpets, no boisterous celebrations, there will be a stillness, and we will be able to hear long forgotten sounds, snowflakes falling, candles flickering, an infant crying, angels singing, peace on earth. Amen. When we really want to gather as families, but choose not to in order to protect one another, when the Christmas cards and the carols are brushed aside like snow swept away from the walkway, when we cannot gather for worship in the name of Jesus, what's left? What's left to celebrate at Christmas? We're concluding our worship series this morning, When God Moved Into the Neighborhood, reflecting on God who chose to come close to be with us in Jesus. And as mentioned previously, John's gospel has a very different take on the Christmas story, a different take on God's coming into the world. The reading this morning from John chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. And the John spoken of here is John the Baptist. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one who I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in close relationship with the Father, has made him known." Thus far the reading. When God moved into the neighborhood, over the last couple of years, several of our new neighbors have moved in across the street from us. And after many years of consistent neighbors, there have been 5 houses that have received new occupants. Watching the events of trucks arrive, people running in and out, the trucks being unloaded, I was curious, of course, who these new neighbors were and how they would fit in. I wondered how they would change our sense of being community with each other. An apple pie for one. A basket of fresh peaches for another. These gestures helped to start new relationships. Christmas celebrates the arrival of Jesus. With that, God introduces to us his only Son. How did God introduce his Son to you? The Christmas story of John's Gospel skips all the minute details. There are no dreams, no angels, no census, no journeys, no donkeys, no innkeepers, no shepherds, no wise men. John doesn't include any of these characters or the events, which are central to the other two gospel stories of Matthew and Luke. It's just Jesus arriving on the scene, arriving in the neighborhood. Well, John's story is a bit bigger than a few houses nearby. While John skips the minute details, he does give us the big picture. The Christmas story of John's Gospel invites us to take a step back and view God's salvation story from the view of the very beginning. We know those first words of God's creation story, the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. With this as an image of a backdrop, John invites us into God's salvation story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With that, John's Gospel introduces us to John the Baptist, who's recently come into the neighborhood, previously occupied by only the priests, the Levites of Jerusalem, the religious leaders. It's like when a new kid shows up at school and all the other kids are trying to figure out who this newcomer is. What's he made of? Several times, John the Baptist is asked point blank, "Who are you?" No welcome with an apple pie, and certainly not a basket of peaches. The priests and Levites want to know where he's from. The mood is defensive, as each of the characters know that the salvation of God's people is at stake. And it's not long before John's Gospel announces to us, Jesus has arrived. Jesus is there to help us deal with our sin, the sin of the world. It's the sin that causes us to forget who we are and to whom we belong. When the new neighbors arrived across the street from us, with a bit of hesitation, but I walked up to the door to introduce myself, but also to ask who they were, where they were from. With the arrival of Jesus, we learn not only how to deal with our sin, but also how to live full and fulfilled lives of grace and truth. We discover who we really are. With that, I encourage you to read not only the first chapter of John's Gospel, but the entire book. Maybe something to do while we're spending time at home during the lockdown. In the message of John, we learn to know the new neighbor, Jesus, who brings forgiveness and judgment, healing and illumination, mercy and grace, joy and love, freedom and resurrection. Everything broken and fallen, sinful and diseased, it's all called into salvation by God's spoken word. These days, when we rely upon our technology to keep us connected, Yes, and this is our extended family. In fact, calling in from three different continents. There's one thing that this technology cannot do. That is to help us know who we are and who we are to become. Each of us has a unique and distinguished identity from every other person. You are unique. And learning to know Jesus, to experience Jesus, is much more than being simply a good neighbor. In Jesus, we come to know who we are as a child of God's. And that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus comes today, to restore our belonging to God and to find ourselves as a child of God, loved and cared for, even during these difficult days. With all your talents, with all your foibles, you are a unique creation of God's love and care. And Jesus longs to share God's salvation for the living of these troubled days, and also for eternity. And so as we celebrate this Christmas day, the one-of-a-kind God expression in Jesus comes to the neighborhood. Welcome him. Invite him in. Learn to know of him. And share God's salvation together because of his coming. Amen. You share the song, Oh How Joyfully, also in the German, O du Fröhliche. Thank you, Trudy, for leading us in that worship of music. Also want to take time to thank the people making all of this possible in a practical way, our tech team. Thank you very much, fellows, for putting this together and editing and making the service available to many others at home. In closing, just a reminder, this is our final worship service of the year. Even earlier, it was planned that Sunday, December 27th, would not be a service in-house, and we encourage you to, if you're online, to check other Mennonite Church Eastern Canada worship services, or you can catch the Niagara United Mennonite Church service, which will be broadcast on Cogeco TV, Channel 10, at 10:30, and that's actually happening these days every Sunday morning. Cogeco TV, Channel 10, at 10:30. As the year ends, on behalf of Church Council, we'd like to thank you for your financial support over the past year for the ministries of the church, and especially during these challenging times. While we have not been able to share with each other as we've had in the past, we have learned new ways of connecting and being the body of Christ for one another. And so even without our gathering, we continue to worship and serve Jesus Christ, who has come for us. Our treasurer, Alvin Entz, offers that year-end donations can be made through the secure mailbox at the front door of the church until Monday, December 28th. There are also online options which are listed in the bulletin for other donation options. We thank you again for that. Following the closing blessing, we'll hear a recording of the traditional Christmas carol, Die Friedensfürst, sung in the German language, and this beloved song announces Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. And now these words of blessing. As you welcome Jesus Christ into your life, into your neighborhood, continue to learn of him, accept his mercy through the forgiveness of your sin, be born again into the living hope by his resurrection. Live as a child of God and receive your inheritance, which is life eternal. For this is why God sent his one and only Son into the world for our salvation. Amen.